Okay, we're going to start here by the two dots on the top of the Aleph and Aleph. Shum Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Chanina Amru, Afa Makdim Trumah Bikurim. This is also an exception to the rule of a lav she'en bo maaseh, that you still get Malkot for. That's what at least sounds like from the statement that we had before, that Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Chanina was adding on this additional item of a person who takes off the Matnot Trumah before he takes off the Matnot Bikurim. My time at Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Chanina Makra. Pasuk says, "Mayatcha v'dimacha lo te'acher." This is from this week's parsha that we just read in Parshat Mishpatim, that you cannot delay the "Mayatcha v'dimacha." Maya elu bikurim, dimacha elu truma. So when it comes to the words here, Gemara is interpreting the word "Maya" to reference bikurim and "dima" to reference truma. V'amra, the Torah says about that lo te'acher. Rashi explains that "Mayatcha" is bikurim, because that's the time that the fruits become ripened. The first fruits that are ripened, those are the fruits that are brought as the bikurim. Dimacha is referring to truma, because truma makes chulin, or other things that it gets mixed with, damua, mixed, and makes it asur. That's why Rashi interprets it. On the other hand, Tosafot says, v'lo nehira, he doesn't think that's the proper explanation, because dimua is a din dirabonon. It's not a din min haTorah. So why would the Torah call it dimua, when the whole idea of truma being mixed with another item is all a din derabonon? Midoraita, truma and chulin is all a din of rov, like any other item that gets mixed together. So therefore he interprets, Rabbi Moshe mi putwaz, peresh, delekach kari truma, dema, lefish no heged belach, ubikrim en el biyavish. Mleya means something that is dry, dema, or dimua, is something that is wet or liquid, because bikurim only come from dry goods, meaning fruits. They have to be literally the fruits, not the wine, not the oil. Whereas truma can be brought even from the tirosh v'yitzar, which is the wine and the oil itself, not just from the items, the fruits themselves.
The Rabbeinu Gershom has a slightly different interpretation and says, Mleyatcha elu bikurim shenotnim min ha-mleya, klomar b'tchila k'shadayno kol malei. Well, everything is still there. It's not like Rashi where it's referencing the fruit reaching its point of ripening, but rather when everything's intact. You take it off while everything's intact, that's when you take off the bikurim. V'dimacha ze chuma, that refers to chuma, shenitlam min ha-dimua. It's taken from a mixture, similar to Rashi in the interpretation of the mixture, but for him the mixture is, me'achar shi'esh behen chulin shel bikurim. Imatevel shel truma. Bikurim have already been taken off. So they are chulin lebikurim. I mean, they're already mitukan with regards to bikurim. But they're still tevel. They're still problematic with regards to truma. So it's called dimacha, a mixture of something that is partly mitukan and partly not mitukan. So he has the interpretation of the word, according to Rashi, of dimu, of a mixture, but he still interprets it to be something different. It's a mixture that exists now in the tevel form, not something that can create a mixture in the future.
So that's the explanation of why Malaya and Dim'a refer to Bikurim and Truma. So therefore we learn from that it says, Bikurim bring, Truma bring, Lote Acher. Do not change the order, do not delay in bringing them. So now Itmar, Hikdim Truma the Bikurim. A person who goes ahead and has Truma precede the Bikurim, Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Chanina. We have a Malchok between them. Chad Amar Loke, one says you get Malkot, the other one says you do not get Malkot. So Tistayim, let us conclude, Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Chanina who damar loke. It's obviously Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Chanina who says to get Malkot. We just had that from the previous statement that here we're trying to explicate on, that it's Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Chanina's position, we added on Makdim Trumah Bikurim as the one that you get Malkot from. Midamar, from what Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Chanina told us, Afa Makdim Trumah Bikurim, you also get Malkot for that. So where it says, Adarabo. Maybe it should be just the opposite. Tistayim, the Rabbi Lazar, who demar loke. Let us conclude that it's Rabbi Lazar who says that you get Malkot. It's none. We have a Mishnah from Demai. Hayu lefanav shtei kalkolot shel tevel. He has in front of him two baskets full of tevel. V'amar, maser shel zu bizu. He says that the maser of, call them basket A and basket B, the maser for basket A is found in basket B. A Rishonan Miuseret. First one, meaning A, is Mitukan now, is totally fine. So I have to answer a couple of questions. What happened to Truma here? They moved on to Masrot right away. What happened to Truma? So one answer, which is given by Tosafot over here, is that we were talking about Demai. And in Demai, we assume that the Amei Aretz are Mafrish Truma. First of all, because of the severity of the punishment associated with it, plus the fact that Truma, you can be Yotzei even with a Koshuhu. So that's why we're in Masechet Demai, and that's why there's no issue of Truma. That's the way Tosafot explains it. In Demai, the Mefarshei Mishnah give two other possibilities. One is that masrot is an all-encompassing word. When we say be mafrish masrot, we mean trumot and masrot, not just masrot. The other possibility is that we're just talking about something that had truma already removed from it. Period. Not necessarily because it was an amaretz, but period, it was removed. So over here, he says about basket A, I want basket B to have the masrot in it. And as Rashi points out, even though it hasn't been mafrish yet from basket B and taken out of basket B, nevertheless, basket A is mutar to eat immediately. You can eat it right away. Next case is maser shel zubizu, v'shel zubizu. He says A's masrot will be in B, and B's masrot will be in A. Now over there, harishuna meuseret, v'shniya inim meuseret. First one is fine, the second one is problematic. The first one is fine because when you said about basket A, that its masrot are found in basket B, A and B were both tevel at the time. They're both chayav and maisrot at the time. So something that's chayav, you can be mafrish from one item that's chayav on another item that's chayav and masrot. Two items that are tevel, you can be mafrish from one on the other. The problem is, after the first statement, A is now patur mina masrot. It's already mitukan. A had its masrot already in a basket B. When you go to basket B and say that the masrot for B should be in A is no longer chayav in masrot. So it cannot have the masrot being mufresh from it. It's patur. It's mina patur ala chayav. So therefore, the first statement you made is efficacious, it works, because you had chayav and chayav. When you get to the second statement already, it does not work, because by the second statement already, you have something that's chayav, and the first basket is patur, and you're trying to be mafrish from the basket that's patur A, on basket B, which is chayav, and it doesn't work. The last line in the Mishnah is, if he says in one shot, instead of doing it in a sequential manner, he puts it all together and says, Masrotehem, Maser, Kelkala, Becharverta. So if he says, each one's Maser will be in the other basket, Karat Hashem, that works. So we have a principle we know in the Gemara, Kol, She'enu Bezecharze, Enu Bevatachat. Anything that you can't do sequentially, you can't do simultaneously. So how is it possible over here that we allow such a night of the hair? Because the Mishnah is saying, when you do it sequentially, it does not work. You do it simultaneously, it does work. So Tosafot asks the question, he says, Tosafot says that your statement, instead of saying when the sequential statement comes, when you say it sequentially, you make one statement and then the second statement. When you say bevat achat, it's equivalent of putting a condition in the statement and saying, it's as if I reserve in the first basket 10 that are going to remain chayav. The 90% of it will be covered by the masrot that are taken off. The other 10% are going to remain chayav to take care of me in the second basket. Because you said it bevat achat, you said it simultaneously, it's as if you reserve the right in the basket A that there's going to be a piece that's chayav that I'm going to remove. Right? So that's how Tosafot solves the problem and says, true, bevat achat, it wouldn't work. But because you stated it bevat achat, it's as if you created conditions that said, I'm leaving out a piece of basket A and I'm leaving out that part of basket A to take care of basket B. So now, the Gemara moves on. That's the Mishnah. Now the Gemara moves on to the question, Beitmar. V'lazar omer lokeh. V'lazar says on that you get malkot, mipnei. What's the reason you get malkot here? Shikti maiser sheni ba, the maiser rishon shebechaberta. Because you took off maiser sheni of one before you took off the maiser sheni of its friend. Now, Tosafot claims that this is speaking about the first bava of the Mishnah, the first case in the Mishnah. The first case in the Mishnah is where you said, basket A's masrot will be in basket B. So in that case, he says there are actually two violations over here based on the Yerushalmi. One violation is that you're mafrish, maaser rishon, and maaser sheni simultaneously. The masrot that I need to take off from A is found in B. You did not designate or separate between maaser rishon and maaser sheni. You took them off in one shot and said all my masrot are there. So he says that's one violation. Second violation, he says, is that Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni that you took out of basket B for basket A preceded Maaser Rishon you need for basket B itself. The Maaser Rishon you need for basket B itself, you've already taken off Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni and basket B for basket A. But then for basket B itself, it needs something taken off, and that's its Maaser Rishon. So the Maaser Sheni of basket A in basket B precedes the Maaser Rishon of basket B in basket B. And that's another violation. And what's the violation? We spoke about in the Torah, Mleyatcha v'dimatcha lo te'acher, which is Bikurim and Truma. Who said anything about Maaser Rishon being before Maaser Sheni? We don't have anything like that. Three answers are given. Tosafot and Rashi give one common answer, which is, when it says, Mayatcha b'dimacha lo te'acher, it also means independently, dimacha lo te'acher. You can't bring things out of order. It's Mayatcha v'dimacha lo te'acher, but also dimacha lo te'acher. Anything that you're going to take off, anything that you're going to be mafrish, don't take off out of order. That's one possibility. The other two possibilities that are brought by Rashi and Tosafot. Tosafot brings one from the Mishnah and Shuma, which is that the chumrah of each item. Truma itself is something that you're chayav mita b'day shemayim. Maaser Rishon has trumat maaser inside of it, so it encompasses or incorporates something that you're chayav b'day shemayim. Then Maaser Sheni is something that just has an iser, you have to bring it up to Yerushalayim, it's an iser aseh to eat it outside of Yerushalayim. So because of the severity of the items, we require to take off the most chamur before you take off that which is more kal. That's one other explanation. Rashi gives a third explanation based on the Mechilta, which is the number of names given to each item. Bikurim has the largest number of names given to it in the Torah. It's called Chuma, it's called Mayatcha, it's called Bikurim, it's called Beshit. So it has four names to it. Chuma only has three names to it, which is Reshit, Chuma, and Dimacha. And then Maaser Rishon only has two names to it, which is Maaser and Trumat Maaser, because that's taken off from it. Maaser Min HaMaaser. And then Maaser Sheni only has one name, Maaser. And so based on that, that's a hierarchy in the Torah. Based on that, the Mechilta says of which one has to come off first. So those are the three reasons they give that the Isser of Lo Te'acher by all of these items, including not just Bikurim and Truma, but all, anything you're supposed to take off, you got to take it off in order. So based on that, Rabbi Lezer says over here, you violated a law of having Maaser Sheni taken off before Maaser Rishon. Right, so now you have here something that is a sur, but who's the author of this position? Rabbi Lazar, Amir Lokeh. So before we had him, two a day author, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, and Rabbi Lazar, one of them says you get Malkot for going out of order, one of them says you don't get Malkot. Gemara says, let's conclude it's Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, based on the statement Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina says that it's also one of the items that Lav Shem Bomasa that you get Malkot. Gemara says, no, I have Rabbi Lazar also saying you get Malkot for out of order. So now we have both of them saying you get Malkot. So who's the opinion that says you don't get Malkot? So Tistayim. We'll conclude from that it's Rabbi Lazar. Ela Rabbi Yossi Rechina Damar Eino Lokeh. Lema Kash. Rabbi Yossi Bechanina. Rabbi Yossi Bechanina. So now if you're concluding that Rabbi Yossi Bechanina is the one who says you don't get Malkot, then it's a stira to his statement before. So this is an unbelievable explanation of his position. Rabbi Yossi Bechanina Apitora Kai. He's going on the other part or the other half of the statement. There were two statements in that. One is, Lav Shein Bo Maisa Ein Lokin Alav, except Chutz, Min HaMeimar, Mekalel, and then he says his statement afterwards. His statement is referencing which part of the Braita? Is it referencing the first statement of the Braita or the second statement of the Braita? So we always assume he was adding on an additional item that you would get Malkot for, which is a Lav Shein Bo Maisa. The Gemara here says, no, he's going on the first statement of the Braita. That means that he's saying, Mayatcha b'dimacha is also another example of a lav shein bo maaser. But then you'd have to say, why? Why is it that over here he has to give a special explanation? So that's what the Gemara is going to explain. Apatora kai. V'achi kamar lav shein bo maaser ein lokin alav. Mishum Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina amru af ha-maktim tshuva l'mikurim. So Gemara says, umayishna meymar d'loki. Why does Tumura get malkot? Mishum d'biduburo asa maaser. Because his speech, his statement had impact. So therefore, we say that's considered that if there was a maaseh, that was Rabbi Yochanan's statement yesterday, that diburo hu maaseh. Rashi says the same thing over here that he said on yesterday's daf, which is, the kamar zutach adzu osem maaseh, dmiikara chulin, vashteh kodesh. Before it was chulin, and now it's kodesh. It has impact in terms of a chalos shein. He changes the character of the item. Before you had something that was chulin, now you have something that is Kodesh. You change the nature of the item from something it was before to something it's now. Yesterday's daf, I also think it's problematic. I don't think that by, for it's like a katam when he takes a neder. When you take a neder, you could take neder kodshim. You could change something from chulin to kodesh. And that was not the reason that was given by Rabbi Yochanan for a nedarim. Why can't you say the same thing? Dibur osem maaseh. Or you give a chalut shem isur to the item. So it's interesting that we relegate it to tmura. But I think that it can be applied to other areas. Nevertheless, he says it's true by Mura, but why doesn't he say it's true by Truma Bikurim? So Maishna Meimar Daloki Mishum Dibiro Asamase. Maktim Truma Bikurim Nami Luke Mishum Dibiro Asamase. Also over there, he's calling it Shame Truma, Shame Bikurim. He's doing something. So I'm Rav Avin, shiny hotam, the lav shinitak lasehu. It's a lav and itak laseh. It can be rectified. The lav is lote acher, but the aseh is kol matnochem asher tarimu. Any matnot that you take off will be classified as matnot. Mean that the outcome, and this is what you're asking before, which is, yes, it's wrong to do it out of order, but if you do it out of order, it works. And it's efficacious. So the essay that comes afterwards says, Mikol matnochem tamirum chumad la'ashem, is that whatever you take off works. So even though you're not allowed to do this, if you do it, it's efficacious, it works. So that is called a lav and itak, the essay. So therefore, there's no malkot, we know that, a lav that ends up having an essay to tell you how to rectify it. When you have an essay that's rectified, that becomes the solution to the problem, and you don't get malkot for it. Based on that, he has a lav and itak, the essay. And meymar, you get malkot, because his diburo asa maseh. So Amar Rav Shani Hatam Dlavni Tekaseu Dichtim Mikol Matnoichem Tarimu Chumah LaHashem Yotiv Rav Dimi V'Kamar Lahad HaShmaita. He said over this memra. So Amar Rabbi V'Chol Lav Shani Tak Lasei Lokaki. What do you mean? All Lav Shani Tak Lasei doesn't get Malkot. So now the question itself is very strange. This is a pretty basic principle in the Torah that a Lav Shani Tak Lasei does not get Malkot. For instance, the primary example you would have is Gzela. You don't get Malkot for stealing, because it's a lav shini tak lasei. Lo tigzol, lo tignov, veshivet gzela, share, gazel, you have to return it. So that's a lav shini tak lasei, you don't get makot. Nobody disagrees with that. You have it by notar. And by notar, there is a machloket, we'll see that in a second, but most people by notar, lo totir mimenu ad boker, by notar mimenu ad boker, by ishtisofu. Anything that's left over, you burn. No makot over there. Why no malkot? Lav shini tak lasei. How could Abai even be positing such a question? Kol lav shini tak lasei doesn't get malkot? Where does he come off saying something like this? So even in Avim, you know, it's just too ingrained a principle that you wouldn't say it. So Tosafot says there's a difference. We have numerous lav shini tak lasei, but they manifest themselves differently. For instance, a lav shini tak lasei can be something where you have a lav, and immediately after you have the asei. For instance, notar. Notar means, it says, immediately afterwards it says, notar mimena boker, beish tisrofu. Over here, the psukim are nowhere near each other. We have, meletcha v'timetcha lo te'acher, pashat mishpatim. And mikol matnechem tarimu t'rumat Hashem is found in pashat korach. They're nowhere near each other. It's a lav, shenitak li'asei, but they're not harov la'dodi. They're not next to each other. They're not juxtaposed. So over there, that's where Abaye's question is. Abaye's question is, it's so clear when you don't have an asei that's directed, or actually connected to the lav, that we say lav shenitak li'asei. So now you're going to ask me, but about gzela? Gzela is lo tigzol lo tignov, nowhere near veshivet gzela asher gazal. So there Tosafot says it has to be that way. It's impossible to have a manifestation of veshivet gzela asher gazal unless he was gozel. Mikol matnoichem tarimu chumah la'ashem, you can have a manifestation of that without doing it out of order. Even if you do it in order, you still accomplish mikol matnoichem tarimu chumah la'ashem. You can accomplish the assay without violating the lav. That's not true by gzela. The gzela, the only way to do the assay is to violate the lav. Tosafot gives two examples of lav nitak assay where you would say it has to be, either where they're juxtaposed, or where it has to be. The only way to get to the assay is through the lav. Over here, we have a case where you can do the assay without the lav, and they're nowhere near each other. So you have two negatives over here, and he's saying, Rabbi is saying, why do you have to say there that you don't get malkot? Says Vaham Meimar. So he says, let me give you an example. Tmura is a lav shini tak le'asei. Meimar, lav shini tak le'asei hu, veloki. And you get malkot. What is the lav shini tak le'asei? Lo yachlifenu velo yamiroto. What happens if you do it? Vayahu utmaroto iye kodesh. It's our Mishnah. It's a lav that he has an asei afterwards. It ends up in an asei. Now Shaul's making a good point. This doesn't exactly seem to be a rectification, but rather a result of violating the lav. So we'll have to deal with that in 1 second. But at least for now, we have a lav and itak li'asei, and therefore you shouldn't get malkot by tmura. So Abaye says, I have another example of a lav and itak li'asei. Veloki. And you get malkot. So Tosafot asks, Tosafot basically sees the question right away, and he says, Rabbi's question is to equate two lav and itak laseis that are subpar. I have a lav and itak lasei that I'm claiming that is true by Truman Bikurim out of order. What's the subpar lav and itak lasei? They're nowhere near each other. They're nowhere near each other. The lav and itak lasei, one lav, the lav is found in Parshat Mishpatim, the asei is found in Parshat Korach. And again, you can accomplish the asei without the lav. So here you have something totally separated. Tmura has one benefit, which is enter juxtaposed. But on the other hand, as Tosfos says, the asay here is a subpar asay because it's a result, not an action that you have to take afterwards. It's a result of violating the law, then vayahu tumrato mi'kodesh, period. You don't have to do anything. In maseh b'yadayim. So Tosfos claims that the equation that Abaye is drawing is, I have a lavani atak asay, both of them have something subpar about them. They're not the classic lavani atak asay. What's the deficit by truma and bikurim? The deficit there is that they're nowhere near each other. And the essay can be accomplished without it. Murah, what's the deficit? They are juxtaposed, but the deficit is, no ma'aseh b'yadayim, you don't have to do anything in order to accomplish it. So that's Abaye's question. The answer that's given to him relates back to what we learned at Tosafot on the first daf. Remember, Tosafot said, why don't you get 80 malkot for the violation of t'murah? It says, v'yachlifenu v'lo yamir oto. That's the answer to this question over here. He says, true. V'ameimar d'alav shindak la'aseihu v'lochi d'tnan. Lo sh'adam rashay da'amir, our mishnah. El shim himir, mumar, if he does t'murah, it works. V'sofeg ha'davarim, he gets malkot. So avilu trei lave. There are two lavim, v'chad asei, and only one asei. You have lo yachlifenu v'lo yamir oto, two lavim, only one asei. V'lo d'ati chad asei v'akar trei lave. An asei can only take care of one lav. When we say asei is mitake in the lav, then you can only say asei is mitake in the lav when you have one lav. So it takes care of one lav. It eliminates one lav over here. The other lav is still standing. The other lav that's still standing, you get makot for. So you're mixing and matching. The lav anitek asei works here by tmura. It works to eliminate one lav. That's why you only get 40 malkot and not 80 malkot. It doesn't work for the other 40 malkot, and that's why you have malkot here. And that's what's quoted. The Rambam, when he codifies the halacha, says exactly this. It's a lav anitak lasei, but despite the fact that it's a lav anitak lasei, there's trei lave, and you get malkot. So that's why t'murah is not a good example, because it's an exception to the rule. So the Gemara says, very onus. What about the case of rape? T'chad lav, v'chad asei. Over there, there's only one lav. And one asay, v'lo ati chad asay, v'akir lav. And there you have a case where, lo ati chad asay, one asay is not successful at being oker di lav. Titania, we have a brayta. Ones, shigirish, person who raped a woman. The demand from the Torah is that he must marry that woman afterwards. And then he goes ahead and divorces her. Im Yisrael hu, if he divorced her and he's Yisrael, machzir. He takes her back, ve'inu loke. And he doesn't get malkot. Vim kohen hu. What's the problem for a kohen? A kohen cannot be makzir grushato. Therefore, loke. Venu makzir. And he doesn't take her back. So, kohenim kamat. You're speaking about kohenim? Kohenim taima achrinu hu. By kohenim, it's a different status entirely. The rabbi rachmana kedusha yitero. Because over there, the Torah included an additional kedusha to them. How do this read this Gemara? I just read it through quickly. But now, how to explain this Gemara is a three-way machloket again. Rashi brings two interpretations. Third explanation is given by the Rabbeinu Gershom about how to read the Gemara. So I'll give the first Rashi to explain is just a simple way that we would have read the Gemara. Over here you have a lav that seems to be nitak lasei. The lav is lo yishalcha kol yamav. He's not allowed to send her away his whole life. He has to marry her.
Says in Parshat Ki Teitze in Perek Chav Bet Pasuk Chav Chet Ki Imtza Ish Na'ara Bitula Asher Lo Orasa Utifasa V'Shachav Ima V'Dimtza'u. And then it says in Chav Tet V'Natana Ish U'Shachav Ima La'Via Na'ara Chamishim Kosef. And here is the Asay V'Lo Tiel Isha. She must then be a wife to him Tachad Asherina, because he afflicted her, he mistreated her. Lo yuchal shelcha koyamav, can't send her away his whole life. So lo yuchal shelcha koyamav is a lav, velo tiel isha is an asay.
So it's not an adversary, he must keep her his whole life. So now you have a lav, anitak la'asay. Lav anitak la'asay, by the Israel, fine, it's a lav anitak la'asay, but here the Kohen who has a lav anitak la'asay, and despite that fact, he's going to get malkot.
Tosafot offers a slightly different twist on the question. And he says, let's look at the macha umleatcha lo teacher, and then the assay of mikom mat notechem tarivu chumala Hashem. In kom mat notechem, it's not speaking about bikurim over there. It's only speaking about trumot and masrot. That's the assay. The lot assay, we said, is speaking about bikurim, truma, maser, all these items. So the assay that is connected to the lav is not an assay that encompasses or incorporates the whole lav. The lav is about all things down the chain of what you have to be mafrish from your produce. On the other hand, the assay only relates to a portion of them. Yet we still call it a lav and itak assay. So let us say the same thing over here by the case of Ones. By the case of Ones, the Israel and the Kohen both have the same requirement to marry the woman. Then they both have the same lav, which is lo yuchal shalcha ko yamav, that he can't send them away. But then, if he divorces her, we have different outcomes. The Israel has the assay again, which is velo tia leisha. The other hand, the Kohen does not have the assay because he cannot accomplish the assay because of the problem of grusha. But let us look at the example of Bikurim and Truma and say, because there's still an assay that applies to this lav. This lav should be a lav and itak assay because for Israel, it's a lav and itak assay. Therefore, for the Kohen, it should also be classified as a lav and itak assay, even though he personally can't accomplish the assay. Just like by the case of the produce, Bikurim and Truma are considered a lav and itak assay, even though the assay only references the Truma and Maser part of the lav.
So the answer of the Gemara is, Kohen is different. And Rashi says, why is the Kohen different? Came into Chamir Kudusha Tayu. Since their kedusha so chamor, hechmir alayu tveim Yisrael delilke afilu alav shnitak laasei afgav d'Yisrael loloki. Even though Yisrael does not get malkot over here, nevertheless the Kohen status makes it that he'll get malkot even in the face of alav shnitak laasei. Now the explanation is difficult, which is first of all the reason he's getting malkot is because he can't accomplish the assay. It's not because of chamur kedushutayu that we're allowing malkot to be given because there's a lot of taksei and we accept it. The whole problem is because he's a kohen, he cannot remarry the woman. Or the reason he's getting malkot has nothing to do with him being a kohen, and therefore it overrides the lavani taktase. The problem is that being a kohen has other impediments to it.
And that's exactly how the Ri in Tosafot explains the Gemara over here. He says, Ri perish, kevin shasara katuv grusha legabayu, enu nitak alav the assay. The assay is wiped out here because of other rules that have to do with kohanim. Just happens to be that a kohen cannot marry a grusha. That has to do with their status, and therefore there is no assay in this case.
So therefore you have Rashi's second interpretation, and he has a different girsa in the Gemara, and it seems that Rabbeinu Gershom also has a different girsa in the Gemara, similar to the second girsa in Rashi, but they give different explanations for it. So I'll read you the one in Rashi, and then the one in Rabbeinu Gershom. Rashi first says, Lishna Achrina, it's in the middle of the Rashi, towards the end of the narrow lines, we're towards the end, about 5 lines from the bottom of the narrow lines in Rashi, by the Gimel. It says, Lishna Achrina, Mishani, Ki Parich, Vari Meimar, Shiny Hotom, Dahachi Loke, Mishum Davi Meimar, Lav, Shishave Biko. Not like a we had in our Gemara that it's a Tre Lave and an assay. What's the reason that you get Makot by Tmura? We gave the answer in our Gemara, says because there is two Lav, one assay, you have an extra Lav, and you get Makot for that Lav. Over here, the answer was, the reason that you get it is because it's a Lav, Shishave Biko. It's a Lav that's equal for everybody. When you come to the case of ones, case of rape, so then why is that different? From my name, I came in Diriya Lavdiday, the Lo Shove Bekol, Lo Lilke Hach Kohen. Maybe the Kohen over here shouldn't get Malkot because it's a subpar Lav. Why is that a subpar Lav? Because not everybody is going to get Malkot for this Lav. Israel will not get Malkot. A Kohen should get Malkot over here. Because it's a subpar Lav, because of that, I'm going to suggest that you shouldn't get Malkot over here. Umishani Kohanim Taima Achrina Ninhu. V'hachi Nachmir Ben Deluke Avagav Zalavi Lav Shishave Bekol. The reason that the Kohanim get Malkot here is because they have a unique status. Their unique status makes them get Malkot, even though it's a Lav Sheinu Shave Bekol. Because we have other Lavim that only apply to Kohanim. Kohanim have a unique status for other Lavim. They can take other things where they're not Shave Bekol. Shave Bekol is not Malev V'morid by Kohanim. Because Kohanim have their own particular halachot that have nothing to do with Israel, and we still say they get Malkot in those cases. So this will be another one of those cases. So the Gemara answered the question of Abaye, which is about a lav nitak laasei. How do you know that you don't get Malkot by lav nitak laasei? By Tmura, you do get it. Where it says, Tmura is an exception because it's a lav hashaveh bekol, equal to everybody. It's a lav that everybody has that goes across the board. So he brings the question from Ones. He's Me'anes, the woman, and then we have a case where a Kohen gets Malkot, even though it's not a lav hashaveh bekol. Man says, no, Kohanim have a special status. Even Lav Shazin Shav Bekol, they get Makot because they have a special status. That's the way Rashi reads it. And this Lishna Achrina, the Rabbeinu Gershom says it has to do with the relationship of the assay and the Lav. It's in the Rabbeinu Gershom, he says, Nista Achrina, it's towards, again, the bottom of the narrow lines of Rabbeinu Gershom. Shiny Meimar, Mishum Da'achi Lo Mvatil Assay the Lav. Why by Tmura does the assay not override the Lav? Tavale Lav Shishave Bekol. It's a very strong Lav. Da'kol Asurim Namir, Lechatila. Vaseidi day, v'yam amir yamir, eno shavevako, to let it be tzibur v'shutafim. And its assay is a weaker assay, because we said this before, that a tzibur and shutafim cannot create tmura. Eno sim tmura. Afilu deyevet. Hilkach lo alim assay lafuke min alav shavevako. So by Tmura, you have a very strong lav, that's Shavibakol, and a weak asay, which is not a Shavibakol. Very onis. So now the question comes from onis. De lav di dein or Shavibakol? There you have a weak lav, Basedi day, the lo tia the isha, that she must be for him a wife, Shavibakol. That includes everybody. The asay by onis is both for a Kohen and for Yisrael. He has to take this woman as a wife after he's raped her, even if he's a Kohen. So everybody has the essay, and yet the lav over there is not Shavibakol. Why is the lav not Shavibakol? Because if he divorces her, lo tishkal kol yamav, the Yisrael can be makzir grushato and take her back, and it won't be a full-fledged lav. The Kohen, they cannot do it. So over there we have a case where we have a weak lav, a strong essay, and yet, we don't say that the essay overrides the lav. Beno Gersha may have combined our Gersha with that second Gersha that Rashi has. Question still about lav and itakta essay. But, the reason it's set up this way is because of the power of the essay and the lav. By Tmura, the answer is, Tmura has a super duper lav, which is Shavibako, and essay, which is subpar because it doesn't include everybody. Then you have Manes, you have a case where you have a lav that's not so strong, because it only applies to a Kohen, not to Israel. You have an essay which is super strong, because everybody has a requirement of Lotia the Isha. Essay applies to everyone, even a Kohen. So why over there does it get Malkot? So the Gemara answer is Kohenim are shiny. Kohenim have their own status when it comes to this lab, because for them, the essay doesn't have application. It's not a strong essay for the Kohen. They say, as Loti Elisha, that's only the first time around. By the time, second time around, he has a problem already. And therefore, the Kohenim get Malkot here, even with a strong assay, weak lav, they still get Malkot. So those are the three ways to explain this Gemara. Again, the simplest way, the way we read it first, was with Rashi, although it makes it somewhat difficult, which is that, hey, you have some people getting Malkot, some people not getting Malkot, lav nitak dasay. You say, Kohenim have a special status, they're a special breed. And then we had the Rabbeinu Gershom, the second explanation Rashi, which had to do with the power of the lav, a lav is shaveh the kol or not. Right now the Gemara moves on and says, let's say this, Kitzanai. This is a machloket tanaim. Now, you could think that the machloket tanaim that we're speaking about here is a lav and itak daseh, because it speaks about that. So Savol claims that we're saying it's a machloket tanaim about lav she'in bo maseh. That is a machloket tanaim, because we have what we spoke about before, which is notar. Lo yeshuim men boker. Do not leave over until the morning. Rabbi Yehuda says, the reason you don't get Malkot by notar is because it's a lav shenitak le'asei. B'Yakov Omer, lo min Hashem huze. What are you talking about? Why do you need lav shenitak le'asei? Lo mishum davi lav she'en bo maseh. The reason you don't get Malkot over here has nothing to do with lav shenitak le'asei. It has to be lav she'en bo maseh. Because lo tutiru mimenu ad boker requires no action. It's inaction that leaves it over until the morning. And lokin olav miklal. So you would conclude from this, the Rabbi Yehuda said, lokin olav, you do get makot shelav shevim maseh. So that's exactly the makloket here. It's a makloket whether you get makot for lav shevim b'maseh. Rabbi Yaakov, haimin otar mimenu ad boker, b'esh tisofu l'mayata. Why do you need the assay afterwards? The assay does not rectify the lav, according to him. You don't get makot anyway. So why do you have the assay afterwards? It's in violate the k'tan. That's it for the Mishnah. Hatzamot v'gidim and otar yisrufu b'shishasar. They are burnt on the 16th. Chal shishasa diot b'Shabbat. If the 16th falls out on Shabbat, Yisrufu b'shiv'a asar. You'll be burned them on the 17th. The fish ain't dochin lo at Shabbat v'lo at Yom Tov. They're not dochin Shabbat and Yom Tov. So v'amar chizkiyah v'chein tana b'chizkiyah my time. What's the reason it's not dochin Yom Tov and Shabbat? You have an essay here. You have an essay that comes along and says v'anotar mimenu ad boker b'esh tisrofu. Says amar krav v'anotar mimenu ad boker b'esh tisrofu b'akatuv litein boker sheni l'sreifato. Gives a second morning for sreifa. Because the way the pasuk is formulated, it says lo totim mimenu ad boker. When I move on to the second half of the pasuk, v'anotar mimenu, what would you have written? I would have written v'anotar mimenu b'esh tisrofu. It says lo totim mimenu ad boker v'anotar mimenu b'esh tisrofu. Why do you repeat v'anotar mimenu ad boker b'esh tisrofu? Why do you have two ad bokers over here? So the second ad boker seems to be extraneous. So Chizkiya says, you know why it's extraneous? Because it's telling you don't do it at the first morning, do it the second morning. When are you eating this? You're eating this the night of the 15th. The night of the 15th is the night of Pesach. You leave it over to the morning of Pesach. The 15th is Yom Tov itself. That's Lo Tutiru Menu Ad Boker. Then it says, Vanotar mimeno ad boker. Boker meaning the 16th morning. Then vayish tisrofu. You burn on the morning of the 16th. So if it's not doche yom tov, it's also obviously not doche Shabbat. And therefore we don't allow you to burn it. And that's what the extra notar mimeno ad boker comes to teach us. Not allowing you to talk to say, but rather when to do the burning. Vayish tisrofu. It tells us the time, place to do it. Not the fact that it's rectifying the lav. Amar Abaye. Anytime the Torah says, don't do it, imavid, if he does it, mahani, it works, his action is efficacious, but he'll get malkot. Because if you think it was not efficacious, am I lucky? Why would you get malkot? You only get malkot if you're successful at violating the law of the Torah. The only way you violate the law of the Torah is if your action is efficacious. Rav Amar, lo mahani, mide. A person who violates a law in the Torah doesn't work. He's not successful. He's unable to accomplish. His action is not an action. Nevertheless, v'haydalaki, why do you get malkot then? Mishum davar, a member of the Rachmana. You violated the word of Hashem. You get malkot because, not because your action is successful, but because you didn't listen to what Hashem said. You violated something the Torah said. So the fundamental machloka here between Abaye and Rava as to how we view an action that's taken against the Torah. Does an action taken against the Torah simply mean the Torah says, don't do this? Not at that it's taking away your ability to do it, but you do it, and you'll get makot if you do it. You're successful, that's what Abaye says. You can't do it, but if you do it, you're successful, and you'll get makot. On the other hand, Rava says, no, the Torah has forfeited your right to take such an action. By making a lota, say, your action is no longer classified as an action. The reason you're getting malkot is because you violated the lo taseh of the Torah. You did what the Torah asked you not to do. So meitave, back to our case over here, of the ones case, right? The case of rape. Ones shigiresh im Yisrael u'makzir, ve'en aloke. If he's Yisrael, he takes it back, ve'en aloke. V'yam amart, if you want to say, kevin de'avar amemra de'rachmon aloke, if he violates the word of the Torah, he gets malkot. Hanami loke. Why doesn't the Yisrael also get malkot over here? Because the requirement is veloti elisha. This woman must be forever for him a wife. Then he goes ahead and he says, I'm going to divorce her. The Torah says, lo yishalcha kol yamav. He's not allowed to send her away his entire life. So now he sends her away. Is he successful at divorcing her? Is he not successful at divorcing her? According to Rava, you're not successful. When you violate a law of Torah, you're not successful. So then, he violated the word of the Torah, but he wasn't successful. So tiyuv to the Rava. That's a problem for Rava. Amar lecha Rava. Rava will say, shiny hotom, damar kra. Over there, the pasuk says, kol yamav. It says, kol yamav ba'mod ve'achzir. That there is a requirement. The Torah says, lo yishalcha kol yamav, that he can't send her his whole life, that there's a requirement his entire life not to send her away. And therefore he has to return her. Seems to be from the kol yamav, is adding on this additional aspect here. Lubayi ilav damar rachmana kol yamav. But he says that the Torah not saying kol yamav, hava mina isura hu da'avid lei. He did an isur. He's going to get malkot for it. If he wants to return her, he doesn't want to, no, he doesn't have to. Kamash v'lan, that he must return her. That he must take her back. It's very difficult with the girsaot and the explanations. They don't have really solid misorot about the explanation. Rashi's explanation is, to read it as a simple way. Rava says, if you violate the word of the Torah, you get malkot. So therefore here, in a case of ones, of rape, the person takes the woman, then he divorces her. He divorces her. Rava says, you violate the word of the Torah, you get malkot. You violate the word of the Torah, you get malkot. Rava's answer is, kol yamav. It's a lav shinitak liyasei. It's a lav shinitak liyasei because kol yamav be'amod ve'achzer. He has to take her back his whole life. So it's a lav shinitak liyasei, you shouldn't get malkot. Rava says, eno chanami. You should have gotten malkot for violating the word of the Torah, but it's a lav shinitak liyasei. Then I'll ask on Abaye, what does he do with kol yamav? Abaye says, kol yamav is havamino yisurahu da'avidai. He did something wrong. So fine, he did something wrong. He has to keep her as a wife. It's just an optional.
It's optional for you to make it into a lav and itak laseh. You have a choice. You want to get the malkot and stay with the isur? Go ahead. If you want to remarry her, then it'll be a lav and itak laseh, and you'll be patur from the malkot. So maybe it should just be optional. Along comes...
Kol Yamav comes to teach me that it's an absolute, that he must take her back as a wife, may not remain in this status or be in this status of isur.
It is a lav and itak laseh, and the aseh is mandatory for you to take her back and to marry her. You're not going to get malkot. That's not an option for you. You must take this woman back as a wife.